Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Who Inspire. My guest today is Stephanie Hutchins, and she's been on Women Who Inspire before, and she talked about mountain climbing. Now she's going to talk about her job and how growth can come out of hardship. So, Stephanie, how have you been as you're dealing with this crisis?
Actually, I'm doing very well, thank you, and I am happy to be back on the show. And I'm, you know, I spend a lot of time each day practicing gratitude, and I think with everything that's going on right now with the COVID crisis, that it's allowed me even more time, and you know, to be able to really reflect on all I have to be grateful for, you know. And so, yeah, parts of the pandemic have been hard for me to cope with, but a lot of good has come out of it as well for me. And I guess that's really the message I wanted to share today, is that that really it is that there's always two ways of looking at things. And And really, when you look at anything hard that happens in life, there's always something good that comes out of it. And I do believe the same thing is happening with this current crisis and will continue to happen, that we'll continue to see good that has come out of the hardship, you know, that we're experiencing right now.
You know, it is a hardship. Lives have been turned upside down. And this, there's different ways of acknowledging this and different ways of coping with this. Like yesterday in downtown Albany, there was a demonstration to open things up. So people are kind of like, they're anxious to go back to their old life, but their old life might not come back at all. What do you say to that?
Right. And I think that's, you know, because my work, so with my, I have a life coaching practice, Serotonin Life, where I specialize working with individuals overcoming traumatic and stressful life events. And the individuals that have, that I have found that, and even myself in my own life and my traumas, I have found that it is most difficult to heal from trauma and to move past stressful life experiences when you're trying to reclaim the life you had before the event, you know? I think when people try to hold on to the past and what life was prior to, you know, the, you know, the stressful experiences that they encountered, I think that's where people get stuck, you know? And I think a concern for me, of course, with the current crisis is that people think that everything is going to go back to normal. They're wanting that what their life was like just a few months ago. I mean, everything changed so quickly, and people are thinking that and hoping that it's going to change back just as quickly as it changed, you know, in an instant, you know, 2 months ago, not even 2 months ago, really. And I think the reality is that our lives will not be the same as they were just a couple months ago, for at least any part of the near future. I mean, the reality is the virus is still spreading. And because I've been a biology professor for many years, in addition to my coaching practice and, you know, other things that I do, I understand the biology behind viruses and spreading, and I know that even though scientists are working on treatments and vaccines, it's going to take time to get any of those out and to be tested, and this virus is a type of virus that mutates very rapidly. So by the time they create one vaccine, if they are able to even create a vaccine, it's very likely that they're going to have to create another one after it mutates. So the more that people keep wishing for everything to go back the way it was just a few months ago, they're going to start exposing themselves to other people. They're going to start going back in groups, and we're just going to see the virus start spreading again. And so as much as people, if people continue to try to get back to that normalcy that they felt that they're wanting to get back to, the longer we're going to be in this crisis, you know. And so I think that people have to start sitting back and reflecting about, well, what good, you know, again, coming back to, you know, sort of the point that I've tried to get across to my clients is that, you know, acknowledging that, yes, life is different now, but how is that better, you know? And I think, I do believe a lot of good is going to come from this, but I do believe it's going to require huge shifts. I think it's going to require shifts from businesses and how they conduct business, about how people work and how they interact with one another. But I think there's a lot of opportunity there as well.
Wow. So what kind of opportunity do you see that maybe somebody else might not see?
Well, so in this current crisis, I think, for example, like, so I am also very much into environmental conservation is very important to me. And so already we are already starting to see the positive impact from just a very short time of people being indoors mm-hmm. and not traveling as much on the environment. Right. You know, ocean populations are starting to repair themselves, coral reefs and fish populations and, you know, carbon dioxide emissions are declining. And, you know, from my time of teaching, again, I've taught a variety of different biology courses, and some of the things that I've taught are about the effects that humans have had on the environment and how if human populations continue to grow exponentially as they have been and continue to climb, we are going to have more and more environmental crises. We're going to have more disease. And because of the impact we're having on the environment, we are going to have more natural disasters and have more disease because that is the environment's way of correcting itself. Right now, the environment is being destroyed at a faster rate than it can replenish itself. And so with humans staying indoors and not traveling as much, they're not tapping the resources of Earth as much, and it's having time to regenerate. And so we're seeing a very immediate benefits to the environment, but I think we're going to have long-term benefits because there is no going back from this. Like now that people see that we can do telehealth, you know, now that people can have, you know, doctor's appointments over the phone, now that people can do their jobs from home, you know, now that a lot of things can be seen that they can be done at home, I think a lot of businesses are going to start conducting their business that way, and I think a lot of employers are going to start having their employees continue to work from home. And there's a lot of benefits to that. It saves not only money for the businesses, but it also is very important for the environment because you don't have as many people on the road traveling, you don't have as many carbon emissions going into the environment. So I think so in many ways, like I think our environment has been in such a crisis for so long that I think this is exactly what the environment needed for it to heal. You know, unfortunately, not all the damages that have been done to the environment are going to be able to be corrected in a short time. You know, like animal populations that, you know, they take many years to be able to recuperate their populations. We're not going to see them being affected quickly. But with organisms that can grow back very quickly, like fish and plants and all that, we're going to see the benefits to this more quickly. And I think what people don't realize is how important the environment and environmental resources are even to our existence. You know, so the more that the environment can be replenished, the better our lives will be because of that. And so I think that's probably one of the things that I embrace the most, that of the good I think that's going to come out of all of this.
You know, we've only been in this crisis a couple of months, and the damage to the environment has taken many years to get to this point. And at some point, our society might get back to a little bit of back to the way it was before. So I don't think the environment and nature and the sea and the air is going to be healed as much as it should be. What do you think?
Oh, no, I truly believe that's true. But I also predict something else is going to happen, that the quicker that people start moving out and resuming life as usual, the quicker we're going to have disease spread again. So the reality is we just had the last major pandemic, just 10 years ago. And we haven't even figured out how to handle this current one. And so the quicker that we try to resume life, I think the quicker we're going to have more and more humans be eliminated. I mean, this is just the nature. If you study any kind of like ecology and look at the environment, is that the environment has ways to correct itself. You know, it has ways that if its resources are being damaged in any population, whether you look at deer or humans or bacteria or whatever it is, when their populations get too excessive and there's not enough environmental resources to support all of the individuals will start dying off, typically from disease. So if it is not the coronavirus that's going to cause humans to start correcting their habits and their desire to overconsume, there is going to be something else after this. And it's just the way nature is. And so that's why over time we have seen pandemics regularly come up. There usually a lot of people are killed during them. And then once populations continue to rise back up, there's another pandemic. And this is just how nature is. And the larger our populations get and continue to climb, the closer and closer our pandemics are going to be to one another. And so I think it's a very important time for people to be able to look and to see, like, do they need to consume all that they consume? You know, like, I think this time indoors is a very important time for us to think back and reflect, what have we been able to do without during this time? And if we have been able to do without it, can we continue to do without it? And I think there are going to be some people that it will start changing their perspective, and they're not going to consume as much as they would consume. I mean, we know by studying countries around the world that Americans overconsume more resources than most people in other countries, and part of that is the wealth that we have access to. We're able to acquire a lot more than other people because of the abundant wealth we have access to. But I think that's another I don't want to offend anybody by saying this, but I think the fact that we are in such an economic crisis as well now is not just like people are dying and becoming very sick and they're losing their jobs. I think the fact that we are suffering an economic crisis as a result of the pandemic will also require people to start thinking differently about what they actually need as far as resources. And so if people have less wealth at their fingertips, they're also going to not overconsume food and clothes and all these different things that are continuously tapping resources from the earth and creating more emissions. I think people are going to start living differently. And so I think that given the ways that people are going to be able to reflect now, but I think also being forced to make different choices by not having access to as much financial resources. I think that, and we know that the economic results from this current crisis are going to be felt much longer. You know, the economy is going to take some time to rebound, but I think because of the time it's going to take the economy to rebound, that's also going to give the earth a little bit more time to recuperate, because people, again, won't be tapping as many resources from the earth as they would have been if they had access to as much money as they did before.
Well, you were saying that there were pandemics maybe 10 years ago. I believe swine flu, right?
Swine flu, yeah.
Okay, but back then, there was not a close down of the economy. Why do you think everything closed down now but didn't close down then?
Well, I think that a lot is because of what we learned from the swine flu. We learned a lot from that of what should and should not have, what we should have done differently. And I think, so part of what we're doing now is a reaction to what we didn't do with the swine flu. I mean, the swine flu spread very, very quickly, much quicker than the coronavirus is. But another thing you have to realize is the coronavirus is more deadly than the swine flu. And
okay.
So it is much more deadly, and it's much more deadly than the flu, and it's mutating. We already know that it's mutating already, and people are being infected with different strains of it, and some strains are more deadly than others. And so I think that these are all reasons that it's a lot different than it was with the swine flu. We're reacting differently because of what we learned and because the virus is just more deadly.
Okay, so, you know, the last major pandemic that people are aware of was in 1918. And the First World War was going on at that time. So there were many deaths at the turn of the 20th century. And our population has grown a lot since the turn of 20th century. So do you think that the pandemic of 1918 was also a correction in the human race?
Oh, of course. And so, you know, we've had more pandemics since 1918. There was another flu pandemic in 1957 and 1958, and another one in 1968 as well. And so, yes, because you have to understand, like, these diseases would not become pandemics if we did not travel the way we travel. You know, if we were in such close proximity to one another, if people weren't in close proximity to one another, diseases like these would not be able to spread, okay? I mean, that's the reality of what we're seeing right now, even with the coronavirus. Why are they requiring social distancing? Why are they requiring masks? Well, it's because close proximity is what causes these diseases to spread. And so the more people there are in certain areas, the quicker the disease is going to spread. And that's why diseases like this will spread quicker amongst more populated areas. You know, it's not going to affect, like, even take the coronavirus in New York State. I mean, New York State is being extremely heavily hit right now. But where is it being most heavily hit? In our very most populated areas of the state, in areas like in very northern New York, like in the Adirondacks or in like central New York, we're not seeing the disease spread like that. Why? Because populations are much lower and people are not in close proximity to one another.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is, again, it's how ecology works and how the environment works, is when there's too many people in one place, it's going to naturally cause disease to spread. And with the accessibility of transport through cars and trains and planes, people can be carrying a disease from one area to another without even knowing that they're infected. And so we can see a disease like the coronavirus and the swine flu and all these others spread across the globe within months because of travel. And so all of these, so I think that's why, again, it's lessons being learned from past pandemics, you know, mm-hmm. that it is going to spread like wildfire if people continue to keep moving. So that in order to stop having it spread, what did they have to do? They had to stop people from moving. And then even then, people were still moving within their town. So what did they have to do? They had to say you had to stay indoors. And then if you did go out, you had to keep distance from other people. And this is all because diseases like this always spread when people are close to one another. That's the only way it can spread. That's the only way the virus can survive is by having a new host. And so.
So I was speaking to a friend of mine the other day, and that person was saying that, you know, by us practicing social distancing, it's not killing the disease, but it's putting it on recess. And that once we start mingling with other people again, then it's going to start to spread again. So my question is, eventually, hopefully, this will die out. What happens when a virus is rampant like this? What happens when it runs its course and it dies out? What happens to the virus? Where does it go? Does it just die? Because that's a thing that I've been thinking about for a while.
Well, first I have to just say something about this, is that the virus is not going to, I guess we'll say, die out as long as it's still spreading. So the only way that it will permanently die out is if there is a vaccine against it, and it literally has nobody to spread to, okay? So, like, take diseases like polio, for example. Polio used to run rampant around the world. But what happened? A vaccine has eradicated it in almost every country around the globe. And the reason it doesn't exist in those populations anymore is because there's no host. There's literally, the virus cannot survive if it does not have a person to replicate inside of. And if that person's immune system is able to kill the virus just goes away. And if it kills the virus, there's no way it can spread to anyone. But the reality is that polio still exists in certain parts of the world. So people who travel to areas of the world where polio still exists, they have to worry about contracting that virus. But so what I'm saying is that the virus will not die out unless there is a vaccine. And so the reality is this idea that it'll just go away. No virus just goes away unless there is a way to stop it from replicating. And the only way to stop it from replicating is to make sure that when it invades another human, that their human body kills the disease. And so this is why I know for certain that the moment everything starts opening up and people start moving around, the numbers will start climbing again of the coronavirus infections and deaths. It will continue to do that until scientists have a way to, have they created a vaccine, or we at least a way to prevent people from dying once they get sick. But even when doctors create medications to prevent people from dying once they get sick, that's not killing off the virus. The person has still been infected by the virus, and the virus can still be transmitted to another person, and that next person will now have to just be treated. Their symptoms will just have to be treated, and then they can infect another person. So I do not think that this virus is going to die out anytime soon. and it will only die out once we have a vaccine. And the reality is this type of virus is very difficult to create a vaccine for because of how quickly it mutates. So I think it is very much wishful thinking to think that that by going and forcing our governments to let us go out, I think people have to realize that it's more to it than just opening up our economy again. It's literally protecting people's lives. Like, once people start moving again, more people will die. There is no way that it can't happen. And so I think that as much as people are uncomfortable with being inside and, you know, their livelihoods are being affected, and I know it's easier said than done to just, you know, be able to move through and deal with these kinds of things, but I think reality is we have to stay in and continue to practice social distancing, continue to wear masks, and not go back to life as usual until they have a vaccine for this, because there's just no way that it's going to die out. And again, the viruses never fully do die out unless everyone around the world has been vaccinated, or what has been created what's called herd immunity, where there's nobody, like there's not enough people in the population to allow for the virus to keep living and spreading, you know. But what you have to realize too is even if this virus dies out and like literally goes away, mm-hmm. doesn't mean that another one's not going to come. Most of the viruses that we have caused our pandemics over all of these past 100 years have not started in humans. They've started in animals. And what has happened is these viruses have mutated in a way that now they can infect humans. And so I don't believe that even once we're over the coronavirus, that's it. There's going to be another one we're going to have to contend with in however many years, and it's going to be one that we never expected, likely coming from animals again, because all of our last pandemics have, that's how it's happened. A virus has mutated in a way that, and it's now in a form that never existed in before. So,
well, Stephanie, you know, our time is up. So tell our listening audience about a little bit about you. You know, remind people that you're a mountain climber, but your occupation and your business.
Yeah, so thanks. So I'm a life coach and owner of Serotonous Life. And so you can find out more about my practice by going to serotonouslife.com. Serotonous is Serotinous, so serotonouslife.com. And my whole story is there, and the work that I do and my teaching history. That's the best way to find out more about me.
Terrific. So you've been listening to Stephanie Hutchins. I'm Cynthia Pooler. This is Women Who Inspire. And if you like this show, like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter, Women Inspire 21. Stephanie, it's always a pleasure talking to you. And thank you, everybody, for listening. Stay well and be safe. Have a good day.
Thank you. Thanks.